This is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse. The Crossmaker.
If we fell many more trees on this Mount of Olives, there'll be no timber left. Come on now, let's get at it.
Mount of Olives should by rights be called the Mount of Crosses.
Yes. Now, what can you do with all the crucifixions nowadays? Hey, look out. Stand away, she's falling.
Seems a queer job for you, Marcus. I mean, being garrison carpenter and all, making crosses for crucifixions.
Well, someone has to do it. I've got to stamp out all these robberies on the highway somehow. It is a bit of an imposition, though. My proper work is attending to doors and windows and making a few bits of furniture now and again.
Yeah.
Now then, Rufus, drive a wedge into that trunk, will you? Let's split it.
Right you are. I don't always work this late in the day. I'm just looking forward to being at home with a flask of good Palestinian wine.
Don't forget, this is a rush job. Three crosses must be ready tonight. I'll have to work when I get home with the timber. I'm to deliver them to the fortress at Antonia early tomorrow morning.
Who are they for this time?
Two of them are for two thieves. Yes, one of them is called Dismas, I believe. They tell me he's a nice little man, except for his itchy fingers. I don't know anything about the other.
You think the fear of crucifixion would keep him straight? It doesn't. Nothing does.
Yes, a cruel death, crucifixion.
Thank the gods I'm a Roman. If ever I die, a criminal's death will be with a nice, clean stroke of the axe. Let's smooth this timber well, and then... I wouldn't like it to hurt their tender hands and feet, poor fellows. I'm a humanitarian, I am. Who's the third cross for, Marcus?
It's for Barabbas.
Barabbas? You don't mean to tell me they're crucifying him at last? How many months has he been in jail? You know, Marcus... I'm a Roman citizen and I hate all Jews, but I must say I admire that man.
Admire him? He's an insurrectionist, a murderer, and a terrorist.
He may be all you say, but he's a real man for all that. Big, strong, with a voice like the Bull of Bashan. He has a certain grandeur, is the only word I can think of. He's colorful. And you don't get many people like that in the world today. Got away with him, too. A born leader. His followers would die for him. King Barabbas, they call him. Up Barabbas, I say.
Yeah, be going up all right, friend Rufus. Up on the cross.
Yeah, I see that you make one fit for him, then. A king-sized cross. Here. This tree will do. Stout, strong, solid-looking. He'll be high enough for all to see on this. He'll be enthroned.
Well, it mustn't be too heavy, Rufus. It must be light enough for a man to carry.
And heavy enough to carry a man, eh? What beats me is why the authorities go all this trouble. Why don't they just strangle them all, beat them to death?
You've got to make an example of your criminal if you want to impress these provincials. And it takes long, long time. Agonizing time to die on the cross.
Yeah, that's done it. Split from top to bottom. Lovely piece of wood. Well, we'd better be getting along. It's growing dark.
Here, light the torch from the fire, will you? Can you manage these planks all right?
Yes, I can manage them.
Well, I'll carry these two. We ought to have brought the donkey, I think.
What about the cross for Barabbas?
Oh, we'll come back for it when we finish supper. I could do with a good sit-down, I can tell you.
Thank you.
yard. And there's the timber, just where we left it.
Quiet up here at night, isn't it?
The night birds are hunting.
Marcus, look. A light between the trees there. It's a small group of people. I wonder what they're doing.
Well, it's probably the man from Nazareth. He often comes up here at nighttime with his friend.
Yeah, I've heard of him. A mad peasant, isn't he?
Not mad. And no peasant, either. He's a craftsman, the same as I am, and a good one, they say. But these last few years, he's left his carpenter's bench to wander the roads with his followers.
A vagabond?
No, not that. A prophet, more like. I don't really know, but one of these days I'm going to find out. He has a strange attraction. All I know is he teaches the people and cures them of their illnesses.
I wish he'd cure this aching back of mine.
I've never met him face to face. He's always surrounded by crowds. But I've seen him about many a time, and I know some of the people he's talked to. They all seem to come away from him, well, different somehow. There's a sort of radiance in their faces, of peacefulness. Well, there's no doubt he's a wonderful man.
I'd like to see him. Close, I mean.
Well, if he comes this way, we'll see him.
But in this faint torchlight, how should we know him from his followers?
We will know him. There's no mistaking him.
Sounds like more people coming up here. This wood is getting more populated than the city.
Look at the flare of those torches. They'll set the trees alight if they're not careful. By the gods. Soldiers of the cohort. What are they doing here at this time of night?
And Jews with them. Romans and Jews together.
Yes.
I'm sure I've seen some of those men in attendance on the Caiaphas, the high priest. It must be a religious matter.
And they're carrying swords and staves. There's going to be trouble for someone.
Can they be after the Nazarene?
Well, why should they be? I know he's been in disrepute lately because he broke the laws of the Jewish Sabbath, but, well, laws like that are made to be broken.
Who's leading them? If it isn't that scum Judas, the man from Kirath, I wouldn't trust him an inch. I'll wager you a lottery ticker there's some trickery afoot of his mixed up in it.
No, I think you're wrong there. Judas, Iscariot they call him, is a friend of the Nazarenes, one of his disciples.
I'd rather have an adder for a friend.
Oh, here they come. Extinguish the light. We will stay here and see what it's all about. They won't see us if we keep quiet.
Now, don't try to back down. This was your idea.
Yes, but now the moment has arrived.
Remember your payment, 30 pieces of silver. It will be yours as soon as you have delivered him into our hands. Judas, if you're leading us on a wild goose chase, I'll have your blood.
I am not. I swear it by the God of Abraham.
I shared the Passover supper only an hour ago with Jesus and the other disciples. And Jesus himself told me he would be here. Look, there they are. What did I tell you? They're coming towards us.
1, 2, 3. There are 12 of them. How shall we know him? They're all bearded and at nighttime.
I have thought of that, Sir Caius. Let me go forward alone to greet them.
And then?
The one whom I shall kiss and call master. That will be the man. Go. Take him and see that you hold him fast.
Go then, Judas. Now, men, when I give you the word, be prepared to rush the Nazarene and hold him fast, as Judas said. He's wily and dangerous.
Contemptible. What a swine that Judas is. Betrayal by a kiss.
Contemptible, yes, but he serves our purpose. Judas is approaching them now. Listen.
Greetings, master.
Arrest the man who Judas has just kissed. That's the Nazarene. No, put that sword away. We want him alive and unhurt. Go then, get him. He doesn't even struggle. Only his followers are resisting. He hasn't made a sign of protest.
Strange. It's almost as if he'd expected it. Not one of his friends is showing much heart either.
May not speak too soon. See that man, the stocky one with the red beard? He snatched the sword. And now, by the prophets, he swung at it. He's cut off Malchus's ear.
He's now the sword again. And as he put out his hand to stop him. And they live or not they are. They obey their master like whip curs.
Ah, look, now they're all running away.
No matter, let them go. We have the carpenter, and without him, they are nothing. They won't cause us any more trouble. Silence! Silence, I say! You have taken him, I see.
We've taken him, Zacharias.
Good, lead him away. First to Annas, and then to Caiaphas. Both want to question the man.
Well, that's the end of him. You can't stand a chance once those priests have got their claws into you. What's the matter, Marcus? You're pale, unhappy.
The Nazarene. He went so quietly, so meekly. And yet dignity was like a shining cloak around him. How can they do this? What has he done? What can he have done?
Oh, cheer up. It's probably a case of gross injustice. Mm. And we live with injustice day in, day out. Wallow in it. We have to learn to accept it or we'd go off our heads. I don't think of it. Come on, let's get this temper away. Forget it. The man is nothing to you.
I told you, Rufus, I have seen him. I've watched him along the roads of Galilee. Wherever he goes, he leaves behind him hope and compassion and love. I've seen him moving among the lepers, touching them with respect, you might almost say, with reverence, as if they were kings instead of outcasts. I've seen dirty children run to him to be gathered up into his arms, to be soothed and sent away smiling with a story and a kiss, and maybe a fistful of dates to chew. He saved a harlot I know of from death by stoning, and she is a changed woman. She has never solicited again.
A harlot? Strange company he keeps.
Well, he loves the poor and the sinful, and no one is too humble for him to help. His followers are all poor men, fishermen mostly, though one of them, Matthew, is a publican.
A publican? Those tax collectors. They're lower than insects.
He can't have committed any crime. He has done only good.
Whatever he has done, my friend, is the end of him now. There will, of course, be a trial of sorts, and in a few days' time, you can depend on it. You'll have another cross to make.
No. No, not that. Not me, ever. I swear by all the gods, I will never make a cross for this good and holy man.
Thank you.
on like that, Marcus. You should be on your bed. It's late. Sit down, at least. I'll bring you a little wine.
No wine. I'm tired, but bed... Oh, I could not sleep. Making the crosses was heavy work.
I've known you do heavier. You're more than tired, my dear. Something has happened to disturb you. You're unhappy. What is it? Come, you always tell me everything.
You see everything, don't you? It is nothing really I should concern myself with.
Yet it does concern you. Tell me.
Well, since you press me... What was that?
Someone at the door. But no one comes here at this hour. It sounds like a child knocking.
Well, I will go and see.
Your pardon. I saw a light.
An old man. He's fainted. Oh, the poor old fellow. Bring him in.
We don't know who he is.
Whoever he is, he needs our help. Here, put him on these cushions.
He's as light as a feather. No penniless wanderer. His robe is rich enough. By his dress, he is a foreigner.
I'll bring him some wine. It will revive him. Here. Drink this, sir.
Thanks, lady. My grateful thanks. Pardon me knocking at your door, but I could go no further.
Who are you, sir? And what are you doing here?
First, let him recover, Marcus. He's exhausted. He's old, and he's traveled far, you can see.
From Alexandria, lady.
I am Marcus, a carpenter of the Roman garrison, and this is my wife, Lydia. What is your name, sir?
They call me the Syrian. That is as good a name as any other, if you will accept it.
Well, you have business in Jerusalem?
I have urgent business. I have come to find the great king.
The great king? He is delirious. Tell me, sir, how have you arrived in this sorry state?
That is simply told. I have known of the king since I was young. And with the years, the urge to find him grew so great that I could scarcely bear it. I knew I had but little time, so I determined to set out on my quest. I sailed from Alexandria to Joppa, where I disembarked and hired a donkey to bring me here. I was foolish. I should have joined one of the caravans, but I was in a hurry. And one night, as I lay asleep, my donkey was stolen. I've continued the journey on foot.
At your age, did nobody help you?
The roads were crammed with people, all intent on reaching Jerusalem for the great feast of the Passover. But the Jews are a suspicious lot, lady. They would not listen to my pleas for help. They even refused to share their food with me, though I was well able to pay for it. So here I am, on foot and exhausted. If you two kind people had not taken me in, I doubt if I would have had the strength to find an inn.
Well, in any case, you would not have found a room. The inns are full for the Jewish feast.
I am here in Jerusalem. That is all that matters. Here and in good time.
In good time? Tell me, this king you say you've come to find, are you serious?
Never more so in my life.
Tell me more.
Sir, you must know I am a Syrian from the country around Joppa. For many years I've been employed in the great library of Alexandria, classifying the ancient scrolls. From my first days there, I found myself drawn irresistibly to one branch of learning, the ancient Hebrew and Chaldean prophecies. I became, you might say, obsessed with them. From them, I learned of a great and glorious happening to take place in the world. And now I only live to see it fulfilled. God is good that I should live in this day and age, that I may see it.
What is it? Tell me, I beg of you.
Lady, a king is coming into his kingdom, a king who is destined to rule the world. This the Jewish priests have always known. They call him the Messiah, and they wait him eagerly. The wise seers of the Chaldeans also have predicted the coming of this great one, the King of Kings. They have looked for him with longing ever since the days of Ur and Bityakin. The time of his coming was hidden from even the wisest of them, but they knew that his birth would be heralded by a blazing star shining in the heavens above his birthplace.
That star appeared in the sky some 33 years since.
The star?
Some say it was the conjunction of the two great planets, Saturn and Jupiter, which took place about that time. And be that as it may, three wise Chaldeans, the Magi, followed this star. It led them into Palestine and to a tiny village called Bethlehem, where they found the babe, the King of Kings.
You speak of wonders, Sirian. But if they found the king, why did they not proclaim him?
The time was not ripe.
Well, there is only one king here, Herod, and he is under Caesar.
But I have heard the story of the star, Marcus. They say a strange, bright star did blaze in the sky all those years ago. Some shepherds saw it, and they too found the babe.
But if a king were born and survived, why have we not heard of him? He must be a man by now, yet there is no one.
Unless it be Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth? Why do you say that, Lydia?
You've seen him yourself. You must have noticed that he's not like other men. His face is truly like a king's, and he teaches as no one has ever taught before. When you hear him talk, it's as though innocence and love had come into the world again. Indeed, many of the Jews call him their king and their Messiah. Some even declare that he's the Son of God.
How do you know this?
Only 7 days ago. It was when you were ill on your bed with that fever, Marcus. I went to the market to buy some figs. I turned a corner and heard shouting. And there he was, the Nazarene. He came riding into the city on a donkey. And his white tunic might have been a robe of crimson and gold. And there was a light all around him. An inner light. A frenzied, excited crowd was swarming about him, and they were waving palm branches. Some of them flung their cloaks in the road for the donkey to tread on, and they were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!"
The Son of David!
They say his mother Mary is a direct descendant of King David.
That the prophecies might be fulfilled, this must be the man. For years I've dreamed of this. You must take me to him.
But you are too late, old man.
Too late?
Yes. Lydia, you asked me what had been distressing me. Now I will tell you. This very night, the high priests have arrested Jesus of Nazareth and taken him into custody.
Marcus!
I saw it happen on the Mount of Olives. If he has truly called himself the King of the Jews, they will have a bitter revenge. Oh, when I think of the sufferings they will inflict on him.
It is inevitable, my friend. In the prophecies, he is named the Prince of Sorrows. And again, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Oh, my whole heart is waiting for a glimpse of him.
Tomorrow morning, I have to deliver three crosses to the fortress of Antonia. Come with me, Sirian. Perhaps we may find out what they have done with him.
I will come gladly. If I may only once set my eyes upon the king, I shall die happy.
And if they should condemn him to death, Syria? What then? What then of your prophecies?
It has been predicted that he will be condemned to death. But it is also written, his kingdom shall have no end. I have read the scrolls, and I have made many calculations of my own. Besides all this, there is an inner voice that whispers to me, now is the time. Now is the year of destiny. When the light of the world shall shine out and illumine all people, praise be his name.
Stand back, old man, while I unload the donkey of these crosses. She's apt to kick if you get too close.
Is this the place? Will we hear of him?
They will have taken him here, I think. Ah, here's Plotius.
Greetings, Marcus.
I brought you the three crosses, Plotius.
Yeah, well, not before time. They'll be starting for the place of execution any moment now. They should have gone before, but they've been held up by another trial.
A trial? On the day before the Jewish Sabbath?
Yeah, well, it was urgent. A blasphemer, apparently. The high priests are howling for his blood. And a crowd, well, you can hear them from here. Because it's the eve of the Sabbath, the Pharisees won't soil their feet by entering the praetorium. So the procurator's trying the case in the peristyle. Yeah, the way we pander to these people makes me vomit.
Well, who is the criminal, do you know?
Oh, it's that prophet from Nazareth who's been calling himself the King of the Jews. Yeah, mad, reckless thing to do. You can imagine how much mercy he'll get. That's the one thing the high priest will never forgive.
You mean Jesus of Nazareth? He is being tried already?
Yeah, Jesus of Nazareth, that's his name, yes.
We're only just in time to see him then.
Plotius, do me a favor. Tie up this beast of mine. Come, old man. We will go around and see what's going on.
Yes.
Follow me. We'll have to elbow our way through this crowd, though. Excuse me. Excuse me, sir. Can you let me through, please? All right, just... There. Can you see, Syrian? Look, there. There he is on the peristyle among the guards.
I can see. So tall, so noble, so quiet. So I have always pictured him. Oh, Lord, I implore you, look at me. Turn your eyes at me only once. So I may go happy and confident to meet you hereafter.
Praying to him, Syrian? But it seems your prayer is answered. His eyes are on your face.
The Holy One. The Holy One.
This old man seems in an ecstasy. Is he with you?
Yes, he came to my house last night. I think perhaps the gods sent him.
The gods sent him? What nonsense you talk sometimes.
Why are you here, Rufus?
To see the crucifixion. I always come. Makes a nice day's outing. I like to see them die. They're all so different. Some scream, go to pieces, some curse. Rabbis now. Today's crucifixion will be worth seeing. Barabbas will go to his death like a gentleman. So there he is.
Who, Barabbas?
Yes. See, they've led him onto the peristyle, and he's standing beside that Nazarene of yours.
But why? I wonder why.
Look at the two of them together. What a difference. Isn't Barabbas magnificent? Makes the other, tall though he is, look like a weed beside him. An insignificant little weed.
Insignificant? Where are your eyes, Rufus?
He fears nothing. See, he's sneering at the guards. Pity to think the crows will peck out those flashing eyes of his. Wait till he lifts that cross. The heaviest you ever made, eh, Marcus? I'll wager he carries it as easily as if it were a piece of driftwood.
But he's already been condemned. What is he doing here?
Well, let's ask someone. Excuse me, sir. Do you know what's been happening?
Yes. The Nazarene was arrested last night. And after he'd been questioned by Annas and Caiaphas, he was sent to Herod.
But Herod could find no fault with him. So this morning he's been returned to the procurator, Pontius Pilate.
Who, of course, condemned him.
Oh, only because he would not say one word in his own defense. Oh, why does he not speak? Why does he not bring witnesses to prove all the good he's done? There are lepers he has cured, a blind man, a man sick of the palsy. A woman suffering from a hemorrhage was healed only by touching the hem of his robe. There are hundreds who could testify.
And has he not spoken?
Not once during the whole trial. Pilate asked him, "Are you truly the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him. His voice was so clear, like water dropping into a crystal bowl. He said, "You yourself have said it, for this was I born. I came to bear witness to the truth. Those who love the truth will hear my voice." And Pilate asked him, "What is the truth?"
Come, Miriam, don't cry like that. You're making a fool of yourself.
Blessed fool. Blessed are they who are fools for my sake. He said that. And at the trial, that was all he said, lady.
Yes. After that, he said nothing. Not a word. Though Pilate hammered him with questions. You should have seen the procurator's face. There was a sort of wonder in it. Yes, and awe. Jesus kept silent. He seemed ashamed of the Nazarene look.
As a sheep led to the slaughter, like a ewe before her shearers, he was dumb and opened not his mouth.
Is that too a prophecy?
Yes. You are surprised. You see, it all fits, doesn't it? He is the one. He is the Lord.
And Barabbas, sir? What is he doing here?
As for that, I know no more than you do.
Shh.
He's going to speak.
Silence! Silence, all of you, for the procurator! people of Jerusalem, I have questioned this good man, and I can find no fault in him. Yet, at your bidding, at the bidding of your high priests, I have condemned him to death. It is the custom, as you know, that at the feast of the Passover, one prisoner under sentence of death is released to you. Therefore, I have brought these two men together that you may take your choice. Jesus Bar-Abbas, whom you call Barabbas, and Jesus of Nazareth.
Two named Jesus. They seem to be the two extremes, good and evil.
Which of these two will you that I release?
Barabbas!
Jesus of Nazareth, release him, I beg of you. By the gods, you must hear me. Jesus of Nazareth!
It is no use shouting, my friend. They are all against you. Your voice is not even heard among all this crowd of people shouting for his death.
Yet these are the people he has tended and healed. These are the people who cheered him as king and Messiah only 7 days ago.
Ah, the mob, changeable and fickle as usual. They run from one to another. Their loyalties change from hour to hour. It has always been so. You cannot expect more from them.
You have spoken. Barabbas is released to you.
The soldiers are taking both men away.
Barabbas will be going to sign the document for his release. Jesus the Nazarene, I suppose, is going with the soldiers so that they can scourge him.
Scourged? Is he to be scourged?
Oh, what's the matter with you, Marcus? You know it's the custom. Why should he escape it? Oh, they wager they'll lay about him with a will, too. The only way to deal with these criminals is the scourge, the spear, and the cross. Make an example of them, that's what I say. Barabbas, now. Jew, though he is, I like him. I don't grudge him his freedom. Long live Barabbas! Is.
Oh, what have they done to him? Surely they could have spared him this. His face, his poor face, streaming with blood and spittle, and his hands bound.
If you could see under that tattered purple cloak they put on him, I'll wager you'd see blood and wounds aplenty. Our Roman soldiers know how to use the scourge.
They have placed a crown of thorns upon his head to mock him.
A crown of thorns? How kill the Jews?
Oh, he can hardly stand. Is there no justice in
him? None, Marcus.
Yet even now he looks noble, undefeated. The pain he must be suffering. Yet in that mockery of crown and purple robe, he still looks the king he is. Can they not see? Are they all blind?
They see only what they want to see, my friend. The world has always been banded against truth and innocence. They are envious of wisdom, so they punish it. It will always be so until his kingdom comes on earth.
Silence! Silence for the procurator! People of Jerusalem, behold the man!
Silence! Silence, I say!
What will you that I do with him?
curate, sir. We have a law. And by the law, this man must die because he has blasphemed. He has called himself the Son of God.
Take him, then, and crucify him. I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See to it yourself!
They have unbound his hands, and now they're giving him the cross to carry. He'll never manage it as far as Golgotha. It's far too heavy. Oh, of all the ironic things, do you see, Marcus? Do you see? It's the cross. The one you made for Barabbas.
No.
You who swore by all the gods that you could never make a cross for the Nazarene. That will teach you not to make foolish vows you cannot keep.
Oh, no, not that. They cannot do it.
I made that cross for Barabbas. For Barabbas, I tell you. Not for you, Jesus. Not for you. Stop them. Oh, stop them.
You cannot stop them, Marcus. This was ordained to happen.
I did not know. Truly, I did not know. That cross, flamed and nailed together with my own hands in innocence. And now it will bear him up to an agonizing death. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me.
He will forgive you, Marcus. He knows everything that is in your heart. And now you are lightening his agony by sharing a fraction of it.
Oh, may I be cursed, and curse the tree that bears him.
Blessed, rather. This will be no comfort to you, Marcus, because you will not believe it. May I tell you something of the future?
If you will.
Then, listen to me. 300 years from now, Jesus of Nazareth will truly come into his own. He will be acknowledged as the King of Kings by the whole of Rome, with its wide and spreading empire. This very cross that you have made will be sought for and dug up from the earth where it has lain for all those centuries. It will be covered with gold and jewels and will be borne in triumph into Rome on the shoulders of a great emperor. The cross will become the symbol of love and truth and sacrifice throughout the whole wide world.
Do you really expect me to believe that?
I said you would not. But think about it. In the nights to come, when you cannot sleep, it may be of some solace to you.
Oh.
There go the three of them now. The two thieves and the Nazarene. Moving off on the way to Golgotha.
We will follow them.
The crowd is thinning out. They've had their fun. And I suppose they have to go home and prepare for their Sabbath. There won't be many at the place of execution. Let us go then. Let us be with him to the end.
I wish this business were over. Tell them to move on, Gallo. They're crawling like snails.
We can only hold the other two thieves, sir. But the Nazarene are dead if we'll ever get to the place of execution. He's in a bad way, almost fainting, sir.
They overdid the flogging, the fools. The sooner we get him hoisted up on that cross, the better. There is still a faction of the people who are his adherents. All right, Gallo. I'll attend to him.
All right, sir.
Get on there, Nazarene. Get on, Nazarene. We have it all. Hey! Oh, he's even weaker than I thought. Oh. Now he's fallen. Get up, Nazarene. Get up! Oh, it's no use. He can't get up. The cross is too heavy for him. We must do something. Come, somebody, help this man to carry his cross.
Now is my chance.
Sir, I will help you carry this man's cross.
Not you, you fool.
My shoulders are broad.
No, I tell you.
I beg of you.
You a Roman? Are you mad? A Roman carry a cross for a criminal? No. There's a man in the crowd over there, the one with the crooked nose. He looks strong enough as a favor. Go and ask him.
Yes. Excuse me, sir.
What is it?
This centurion is asking for you.
For me?
Yes.
What do you want me for?
Well, you can see that Jesus has fallen.
Jesus? You mean the criminal?
He is no criminal. But he is to be crucified. He's exhausted and can go no further. Will you help him to carry his cross?
Me? What's it got to do with me? Why should I? I was only passing by and happened to be caught up in this rabble. You're no weakling yourself. Why don't you help him?
I am a Roman.
Romans. No barbaring barbarians, a lot of you. And I'm not afraid of you either, though you do rule this country by right of arms. I'm a Cyrenian and part of it in spite of the boasters.
I did not intend to boast. You misunderstood me. I offered to carry the cross, but because I am a Roman, this officer refused to allow it.
Oh, I would give my right arm to help you.
If only they would stop this torture.
It has nothing to do with me. Find someone else.
Look well at him, Cyrenian.
He does look bad, doesn't he? I cannot help but pity him.
He seems to be looking at you.
I think he's chosen you to be the one that can help him to Golgotha.
How could he? He does not know me. He...
Oh, by the prophets. What is the matter?
Who is he? Is he a sorcerer? His eyes caught my glance, and who could resist him? Such love and mercy in a face I have never seen. Who is he? Who is this man?
He is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.
I can well believe it. Take me to him. I will help him gladly. It is an honor.
They've put your Jesus in the middle of the other two. There's an inscription on his cross. What does it read?
They have written, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It is in Latin and Hebrew and Greek, even in Aramaic.
They have written more truly than they know.
He must be in agony. But the soldiers around him are completely callous. How can they be so unmoved?
Ah, they're used to crucifixions. They see them every day. Look, they've settled down to a game of dice. One of them is handling the robe they tore off him. I think they're playing for it.
It has been written. They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they cast lots.
The air is strange today. There's a weird light over everything.
What's that? Distant thunder, I think. It's growing as dark as night. It is only the ninth hour. It's unnatural. I don't like it. There's something uncanny here. It's not an ordinary storm. Even the birds are silent. And they've hidden themselves as though it were an eclipse.
Oh, the earth shook.
There will be rain soon. It's good for the crops.
You seem so unconcerned, Rufus.
A storm worse than most, I agree. As long as there's no hail, beats down my young cabbages.
Even the sky and the earth are mourning his passing. It takes so long for him to die. What will happen afterwards? Will they leave his poor body to molder on the cross, for the birds to peck at and the wild animals to tear?
Excuse me, sir.
Hmm?
I heard what you just said.
Oh.
I am Joseph of Arimathea, a friend of Jesus of Nazareth. You, too, are a friend of his?
I have never met him.
But you have given him your allegiance. One can hear it in your voice. Regarding his burial, I can assure you, I am going to appeal to Pilate for permission to remove his body from the cross. He will give it to me. I have a certain influence.
And then?
I have purchased a new tomb where no one has been laid. It is in a garden. Jesus will be buried there with all reverence, anointed with oils and wrapped in fair linen. The women will see to that.
Ha! Nazarene! If you are the chosen of God, come down from the cross!
Send him away. Let's mock him. You saved others, Nazarene. Now save yourself if you can.
Show us your power, imposter! Only show us and we will believe!
Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do.
Oh, curse them! Cannot they leave him alone? And yet, That is what I have been thinking myself. Why doesn't he come down if he has the power? Why doesn't he save himself from this agony and descend from the cross? He does no good by this ignominious death. If he came down, the whole world would believe.
There'd not be a question of temptation.
Temptation? How do you mean? I only know that he is suffering up there, and that suffering is needless. It is tearing the heart out of me.
Some time ago, Jesus went into the desert and remained there for 40 days and 40 nights. There, they say he was tempted by the devil to give proof that he was the Son of God. He was tempted to turn stones into bread. And after 40 days fast, he must have been on the verge of starvation. He was tempted to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple so that angels might bear him up and to possess all the cities of the earth. All those temptations he rejected.
But what has that to do with his present agony?
Don't you see? This may be the last and the greatest temptation of all. Show yourself to be the Son of God. Get down from the cross and frustrate your accusers. Then the whole world will believe in you.
Why doesn't he? If only he would put an end to this agony, the whole world would believe.
I do not think it is to be made as easy for us to believe as all that. For if that happened, the salvation of man would not be accomplished. What virtue then would there be in faith? He wishes men to come to him through faith and love and longing and tears. Just as you are weeping now, my friend.
I am not weeping. I have not wept since I was a child. It is dust in my eyes.
Oh, the earth is moving again. I must go home.
Joseph of Arimathea, you say you are a friend of his. You must know that little group of people who stand by the cross mourning.
The tall young man is John. He is the only one of Jesus' disciples who has not deserted him.
And the women?
Ah, they are the faithful ones, faithful unto death. They are the three Marys. The thin one is Mary, the mother of James and Joses.
The one with the long golden hair, she's a beauty. Who is she?
That is Mary of Magdala, who was once a harlot. Now she is one of the most devoted of all. Once she dried Jesus' feet with that glorious hair of hers.
And the other? The tall woman who looks like a queen. Her face. Such deep sorrow, and yet how calm.
She is Mary, the mother of Jesus.
His mother? Yes. Yes, you can see it. The same nobility. She could be no other. She's so still. She hasn't moved or spoken.
Strange. Under the agony on her face, there is almost an exultation.
She is gazing at her son as though the two of them shared a secret. She has never taken her eyes off him.
There has always been a strange strength that flows between her and her son. And she is calm because she knows the outcome of all this.
The outcome. What outcome can there be but degradation and death?
He has promised that in 3 days he will rise again from the dead.
How could he? That is impossible.
His disciples think as you do because they do not understand. But Mary, his mother, knows. After this agony will come the peace which passeth all understanding. This is the darkest night before the dawning of his son.
But you are an intelligent, educated man. Surely you do not believe it. About his rising from the dead, I mean.
He has promised. And what he promises, he will fulfill. This is the seeding time. Every tree must be seeded in the earth before it flowers. No salvation can come except through sacrifice.
Oh, this is too difficult for me to understand.
You will understand when you see the burgeoning of his kingdom. Excuse me now, sir. I must go and negotiate with the procurator for the body of my master.
Farewell, Joseph of Arimathea. A strange man.
And very wise. You are learning a lot today, Marcus.
More than I have ever learned in my life before. But at what a cost.
Look at the thief, the one hanging on the Nazarene's left. He's more spirit in him than I thought, even though he is nearly dead. He looked straight at the Nazarene and spat into his face.
The other one, Dismas, he's bending his head forward to speak to Jesus. Listen.
Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
What does he mean by that?
Shh. Look at the Master's face. He's going to answer him. Today, you shall be with me in paradise.
I don't know what that means either, but it must mean something.
Yes. You have only to look at Dismas's face. He is radiant. You would think they had given him his freedom.
For eternal life.
Now, what's happening?
I can't see. Nothing much. His mother Mary's moved over to John, and the disciple has put his arm around her. That is all.
Wait. Listen.
Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother.
In that agony, he can think of those he leaves behind. He has given Mary to John to be his mother.
And the mother of us all.
He is nearly gone now. His head is dropping on his chest. The priests are silent. They've stopped jeering at him.
Well, there's no fun in baiting a dying man who can't answer you back.
Excuse me, sirs. Excuse me.
Hmm?
Let me...
He's the man with the luck. He's come to gloat, I suppose.
Greetings, Barabbas.
Greetings, Rufus.
This is my friend Marcus. He's a man you ought to meet. He's a carpenter, and it is he who made the cross you have escaped from.
The cross was for you, Barabbas.
Yes. The cross should have been for me.
You sound low, Barabbas. You should be bubbling over with good spirits. You're a free man. Now, think of it. You're free.
Free? You do not know, Rufus. Up there on the pedestal, when the people chose me for deliverance, I was wild with exultation and excitement. Your luck holds, I said to myself. You've done it again. I turned to Jesus and burst into a great laugh. Well, mate, I cried, so we swapped places. Cheer up, it's the luck of the game. Your loss is my gain. And what a gain, my life. And he turned and looked at me. Those eyes of his. I felt he knew everything I'd ever done, every sin I'd ever committed. His eyes stripped my mind of every vile secret as a man strips an onion, skin by skin. I squirmed with shame. And yet, underlying the shame and a bitter regret, a wave of relief and thanksgiving flowed over me that he should know and understand and forgive all. For in that look, he did forgive.
I can understand. I know he has forgiven me also.
He smiled at me. And by the God of Abraham, I saw compassion and love in his face. Love for me. I, who have always killed those who loved me. My mother, a good woman, narrow and orthodox, died when she heard I was an insurrectionist. My wife was killed by a blow from my fist. Now I feel that I've killed him too. The greatest man who ever lived.
It is finished.
He is dying. He has commended his soul to God. Jesus is dying.
He is dead on the cross I made.
Well, cheer up, Marcus. It wasn't a pleasant business, but it's all over now. This is the end.
This is not the end. It is the beginning.
A while ago, Rufus, you called me free. I shall never be a free man again. Neither will you, Marcus, my friend.
Thank you.
be sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8 and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week, then, a very good night to you all.